big difference between living and just existing. Before Christ entered into my life, I simply existed. I did the things that normal people do, but I just existed. When Christ came in, I began to live. The life I live now, I'm living to live again with life eternal. I'm so happy and glad that God saved me. Man, I'm glad of that. You see, when God changes the way you live, He should change the way you give. And most people don't have a problem when I talk about stewardship and talk about you giving your time and your talent. But when I start talking about your treasure, your money, some of you get a deaf ear. I realize that in the course of this one message, I may not change you, I may not impact you or anything, but God knows I've been praying about it too. You see, the problem is that a lot of people think that I want your money. I don't want your money. I want you to be blessed and to tap into God's favor. The New Testament Gospels, 1/6 is given about money. 1/3 of all the parables that Jesus taught is about money. And yet we get all upset and twist our face when the preacher talks about money. So I'm going to do it just this one time. I'm not going to say nothing else about it this month, I think. Now that the offering has been taken and we have your money, we can proceed. The Old Testament book of Haggai. If you don't mind. Some pronounce it Haggai. It's pronounced Haggai. This most vital and important message stems from the first chapter, verse 3. And it reads as follows. Then came the word by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. A message is entitled, A Hole in the Bag. It was many years ago that a little boy was getting dressed for Sunday school and found out that his father would not be attending church that day, for he was still sick in bed. But as he came to his father's side, his father gave him 2 quarters. And said, now 1 quarter is for the Lord. You put this in Sunday school. And the other quarter is for you. Your sister will take you to the candy store afterwards. Now, I told you this was many years ago. You can't buy nothing for 1/4 nowadays. little boy was excited about his two quarters, especially the one that belonged to him. And he kept playing and throwing the money up in the air. And his sister said on their way to Sunday school, "Put it in your pocket before you lose it." But in his pocket, he kept jingling those two quarters together and playing with it. And next thing you know, he had poked a hole in his pocket. And the quarter ran down his leg and went down the street and went into the sewer. He didn't hesitate. He looked up to heaven and said, "Lord, there go your quarter." Some of you are laughing, but you've been saying the same thing. Lord, there go your quarter. How is it that when people don't come to church, feel like the money that they would have given is their own? How is it that when it snows or there's a storm and they don't come to church that they say, "Well, Lord, thank you, this is my offering today, because they won't bring it next week. Lord, there go your quarter." The prophet Jeremiah had prophesied that Israel, because of their idolatrous sins, would be carried off for 70 years.
Yes, sir.
Captivity in the land of Babylon. They would have to learn a language that they did not know. They would have to learn a culture and custom that they did not know. And for 70 years, they would be away from the holy city of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had sacked the temple and destroyed the temple and tore it down and the walls thereof. But now, God has a plan, because he's working in behind the scenes.
Yes, sir.
Nebuchadnezzar is overthrown by the Medo-Persian king Cyrus. But Cyrus wants to let the children of Israel go back home and build the temple. And so he puts a decree, an edict, in writing that went into the Persian files, into the sacred records of the Persian people. Now in the archives, it is written that Israel should go back, and not only that, but be sponsored by the treasury of the royal treasure of Persia. So as they go back, according to Ezra, 42,360 strong went back to Jerusalem. The new colonists settled in and around Jerusalem, in Bethel and Bethlehem and Gibeon and other towns around adjacent to the holy city.
Yes, sir.
The generous edict of the Medo-Persian king Cyrus had been made possible because God was behind the background setting his children free.
Yes. Yes,
God's always in the background. Now, King Darius is the true successor of Cyrus, and he's now in charge. And the children of Israel have been back in the land for 16 years, but God's temple was still not built. They were eager to establish the public worship of the sanctuary, so they set up at once and erected an altar of burnt offerings upon the old site, and they gave offerings. But they didn't rebuild God's house. The plans were made, and immediately the temple foundation was actually laid in the second month of the second year of their return. But the work stopped because there was a public outcry from the Samaritans. Civil unrest took Israel to court, to the Persian court, and caused them to have a stop work order put upon the people of Israel. They had checked the archives and found out that Cyrus indeed had decreed that they should build their temple. And so the work would begin, but the people had become a little lethargic. They became lazy. So now the year is 520 BC. For 16 years, the superstructure had not taken place. They became indifferent. yet the work, the wood from the Lebanon forests, the cedar, had been stacked up, and they decided they would use it for their own houses. You're talking about a home improvement project. They begin to panel the walls of their own houses. Probably even had tours going from house to house, saying, "Baby, that looks good. I think I'll get some of that wood in my house." How luxurious their homes became while God's house lie waste. So it was. God says, enough is enough. I've been waiting 16 years for them to make me a priority. I've been waiting this long time for them to understand they need to give me what I want. So he speaks to the prophet Haggai, first prophet to come out of exile with them. Haggai's work was intensively practical and important, and Yahweh employed him to awaken the conscience and stimulate the enthusiasm of these that have come back from captivity. You thought they would have been excited about building God's house. They became complacent because all they cared about was their own house. Lord, there go your quarter. God would speak to his prophet, and this one sermon would have a radical impact and impression upon the hearers. One sermon. This one sermon. Not a revival. One sermon. I done preached 100 sermons about you making God a priority. I read about the scriptures each Sunday about you giving your tithe and your offering. He preached one sermon. I was up 4 o'clock this morning. Lord, give me a Haggai sermon. Because mine ain't working. To arouse the people. That they might give you what you want. I noticed that in this sermon, not one scripture is quoted. Oh, it would have been all right with me if he had quoted from Leviticus. If he had went to Leviticus 2 and 26 and 2, "You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." He didn't start out with that. "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give you rain in due season." He didn't start with that. He took his text and he said, "Consider your ways." And that's sermon. Consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Arrange your priorities. Consider your ways. How have you been thinking? The Lord says, consider your ways. Man, what a sermon. What a sermon. It's right here in the Bible. He had went to the governor, Zerubbabel, and went to the priest, the high priest, Joshua, not Joshua the son of Nun, the contemporary of Moses, but this is a later Joshua. He goes to them and he says that the Lord told me to tell you, the people say it ain't time yet to build the Lord's house. They say, this is not a good time. I gotta send my kids through college. This ain't a good time for me to tithe. I ain't paid for the braces on their teeth yet. You'd be surprised how many folk walk around with God's tithe in their mouth. Amen. It ain't time yet. I got to get some new tires for my car. It ain't time yet. I'm trying to buy a house. It ain't time yet. It ain't time yet. It ain't time yet. Oh, we're going to build it when we get around to it. It just ain't time yet. And so the Lord said, consider your way. He said, is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses? The houses that you fixed up? Oh, it was was all right to fix up your house, and that's all. You said, I just got back after 70 years of captivity. I got to hook up my thing. Never mind God's house. Consider your ways. You've sown much, and you bring in a little. You put a lot of seed out there. And if anybody ever had garden or farmers, you know, you put a lot of seed out. You look for a big crop to come, but all you got was a little.
Yes, sir.
You eat, but you don't have enough to eat. You're still hungry.
Yes, sir.
You drink, but you're still thirsty. You clothe you, but you don't have enough clothes to stay warm.
Yes, sir.
He said, I've been trying to get you to consider your way. Don't you know something's wrong here? I am the God of blessings. I know how to bless you, but something's wrong here. I brought you out of captivity, allowed you to go back home. Something's wrong here. Have you considered what's going on? He said, and then he that earned his wages, earned his wages to put it into a bag with holes in it. No matter what your income, your outcome is bigger. Look, this is what he said. He said, you have enough to make your ends meet, but they don't overlap. You got enough to get by, but you ain't getting over. Have you thought about it? Something's wrong with this picture. The first part of the sermon, consider your way, starts with a reprimand. And then it escalates to the remedy. Oh, that's right there in your Bible. Verse 7, it's the remedy. He just said, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways again. He says, go up to the mountains and bring wood, because you didn't use up all the rest of it for your houses. Build the house. Talking about the house of God. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. Did you hear that? It would be pleasing to God.
Yes, sir.
And he would be glorified in your arranging your priorities to build his house. Have you not read in Matthew 6:23, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. These things mean food, clothing, and drink. If you put God first, that's what the Bible says. If you give God what he wants first, he knows how to bless you. And you can never give more to God than God give to you. Just read in Malachi what God said, if you stop robbing me and you give tithe and offering, he said, I'll bless you. I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. He said, you won't have room enough to receive it. What part don't you believe? I know you don't believe it, because I've been preaching to some of you 20, 30 years. You still won't tithe. Some of you have started and stopped. And I'm more afraid for you than anybody else, because you are a recipient of the glory and grace of God, and you stopped. I had a lady the other day, she said, so, well, Pastor, I was doing all right till my son went away to college, and now he just have to have all the money. I said, oh, you did some God switching. Oh, yeah, yes, you did. Oh, that's your God now, the one at college. That's your God, because you took God's money and gave it to him. Oh, I wonder how that's going to work out for you. You've never put anybody in front of God. I'm bothered by you who have started tithing and stopped for whatever reason. And I've heard everything. Well, Pastor, we're trying to get the down payment for this house together. You don't need to get no house then. If you got to cut God out of the business. That That's why this country is so messed up right now, because people who bought houses ain't had no business buying no house. Amen. They gave credit to people who were at a risk. Amen. If you got a credit score of 400, baby, you don't need no house. Amen. Get you a little trailer, get you an apartment, get you something. Amen. There's a hole in the bag.
Yes, sir.
You're making good money.
Yes,
but you never have any.
Yes,
and here's the part that gets me. This is the part I really don't understand. You ought to have some money now that you save, because you ain't doing the same stuff you used to do. Can I preach this? I can't speak for you, but when I got saved, I don't have to buy the weed no more. I don't have to buy the Johnny Walker no more. Oh, Granddad. Seagram 7. Did I hit yours yet? I don't have to buy that stuff no more. I don't have to buy the cabaret ticket and the outfit and the setup that go with it, because I'm saved. I ought to have some money. I don't have to buy that pack of cigarettes every day that I used to buy. I ought to have some money. Where the money gone? It's going in the bag. Got a hole in the bag. Have you ever had that expense? You put the money in, you just got a new hot water tank, now the furnace out. Just the furnace, air conditioner go out. Pay for the car, now you need tires. Get the tires and the muffler fall off. Get the muffler, now the transmission grinding. Ain't God trying to tell you something? Every time you look around, you got a headache, heartache, something wrong with you all the time. I tell you what's wrong. There's a hole in the bag, baby. God is, he didn't say it like this, but I'm going to say, you're just stingy, you're tight, and you're a freeloader. Oh, I know y'all don't like this. If you get mad, just put your finger up and walk on out the door. I don't care. I don't know what that means, but just walk on out anyway. You ain't got to put your hand up. Just get out of here. I didn't come to make no friends this morning. I seen how you act last Sunday. We had all these lilies up here. 50 of them. Cost $10.76 each. $576 worth of lilies. I called y'all up to prayer. Some folk ain't never come up for prayer. Come up last Sunday. And they was getting them a good position too. They had picked out the one they were going to get. And I had to say, only take one. I mean, them lilies went quick. They want these lilies, but they don't want the lily of the valley. Oh, I think I'm preaching it. Baby, that's all you want, $10.76 worth of flowers. Don't you know God got more than that for you? Have to buy the lottery tickets. You can throw the dream books away now. You don't need all of that house. The kid's grown. Get you something smaller. Downsize a little bit. You drive them big old flashy cars. Ain't nobody paying no attention to you. Anybody can get a car. Anybody can have $1,000 month car note too. Ain't nobody, and you ain't exciting nobody. You ain't impressing nobody with you. You dress up like $1 million, but you ain't got no money. You ain't fooling nobody. And most of that jewelry, that ain't no real jewelry. You just like Flavor Flav come up in here. You ain't got nothing. it going. You got a hole in the bag. A pastor was talking to one of his members, went out to his farm. He said, "Brother, I've been trying to get you the tithe, and the Lord has blessed you with all this land and all that you have." He said, "Let me tell you something. If you had 100 horses, would you give God 10? "Oh, Pastor, yes, I would." He said, "Because I wouldn't even have enough room for 100 horses. Certainly, I'd give it to the church. I'd give the church 10. He said, "Oh, God bless you. If you had 100 cows, would you give 10 to the church?" And, "Oh, Pastor, absolutely. I couldn't have no room for my cow." He said, "Well, what if you had 10 pigs? Would you give God one?" He said, "Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You know I got 10 pigs." Ain't it something to brag about what you do and you ain't got what you say you... Amen. If you're not faithful in a little, you won't be faithful in a whole lot. You remember that passage of scripture in Luke where Jesus warned us to beware of covetousness? Yeah. Over in the 12th chapter, he talked about this man who had everything going for him. And he said, "I think I'll retire, build bigger barns and put everything in the barn. I'll take it easy from this point. I'll live, I'll eat, drink, and be merry." Basically what he said. And God called him a fool. He said, "Not only he's a fool, but," he said, "so is he, everyone that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." That's a fool. If you're not rich toward God. See, there are some people in this church who give absolutely nothing. Oh, I know you. I've been in the files. Amen. I've been on the computer. There's nothing by your name, not tithe, nothing, nothing. We know you got some money because we got that dollar from you when you registered. The reason we know you got some money because you came with $100 bill to pay $1. We had to come and get you $99 worth of change. The lights, the gas, the insurance, the buses, the gas in the buses, my salary, the secretary's salary, custodian salary, the organist salary, all these things. And then we got a mortgage. But your little $1 ain't fixing that. It's the tithers. It's the tithers that bless this pastor, that bless this ministry. Come on. At the first Sunday of this year, you stood up if you were here. When we read our church covenant. And we stood before God. And I heard you promise to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, and the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations, and you can't do that with no dollar. You lied before God. And I saw you. Yes, I did. And you all want to run up and shake my hand, grab my hand, and you ain't giving nothing. Oh yeah, you ain't got to like none of this. I'm buying this tape. I know you ain't buying this. Amen. Ain't gonna be no long line today, amen. That's all right. I'm gonna play this in my car, amen. Preach, Holy Ghost. There's a hole in the bag. And your disobedience put the hole in there. Because you didn't do what God told you to do. That would give him pleasure. That would give him glory. Listen what he said. He said, "Go up to the mountains and bring the wood." And he said, "Build the house. I'll take pleasure in it and I will be glorified." Then he gives the rebuke. He's given the reprimand, the remedy, now the rebuke. He said, "Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did
upon it. I blew it away. You put it in the barn, but when you went to get it, it was gone. You thought you put in 50 bushels of wheat, but now it's only 20 bushels of wheat. God said, I did that. I blew upon it. Why? Said the Lord of hosts. Why did I do it? I'll tell you why. It's right here in verse 9. Because mine house is without waste, and every man run to his own house. You made your house a priority, and you care nothing about my house. This is the Lord's house. We must keep the lights on. We must keep it clean. It's the Lord's house. We got to repair everything that breaks. It's the Lord's house. That's the Lord's parking lot. We have to keep everything looking like it belongs to God. And we can't do that with your dollar. I ain't begging. I'm just telling you the truth. He said, I blew on it. Because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. I would never ask you to do something that you were incapable of doing. I hear this all the time. Pastor, I was tired. I just can't afford to. Are you kidding? I've been tithing for 33 years. I have never, ever missed one Sunday. Now, I know that don't mean nothing to you. Because y'all don't care. Y'all say, well, you're supposed to. You're pastor. But let me tell you something. In those 33 years, I have always had a job. I've been pastor 31. I worked in a factory for 30 years. And I never got laid off because I gave 10% of what I had to the Lord. If I got unemployment, I gave it to the Lord. When my income tax come back, I gave it to the Lord. You see, the problem is I don't have no money. Everything I have belongs to God. That's God's car that I rode to church in. That's God's house where I laid my head down last night. Everything I have belongs to God. That's what stewardship is about. See, God wants us to be good stewards. A steward is somebody who's been giving something, lent to him. You see, everything you have, even your children, your wife, everybody just lent to you. Mom and daddy don't belong to you. They're just lent to you. And God wants to see what kind of care we give those he lends to us. That house you have was lent to you. That job you have was lent to you. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell therein, everything belongs to him. It ain't yours. It's my money. No, that's what's wrong. It's your money. When it becomes God's money, then you'll be all right. Then you'll become a good steward. A steward, man, he handles the household affairs of another who he works for. You know, Paul describes Christian ministers, all preachers should tithe. If a preacher don't have enough faith to tithe, he don't have enough faith to preach about tithe. And he sure can't teach you how to faith if he don't have any. Y'all agree with that? Well, why some of you Negroes ain't tithing then? Amen. See, I've been on the computer. I know who tithes and who don't. Yeah, that was a curveball. They didn't see that coming. Some of you security guards who work out in the parking lot and you secure to make sure our cars are okay, but you don't get nothing. I didn't check your record too. Amen. All of my trustees tithe. Because if you don't tithe, you don't count no money. Amen. I would not have a broke trustee counting money. And I watch them real close too. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. All ministers are stewards of the mysteries of God. All ministers should tithe.
every Sunday school teacher. How are you going to teach about faith when you don't have none? You see, this is what we got a faith problem. This is not an economic problem. This is about faith. 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 They didn't have enough faith to build. They fixed up their houses, but they didn't have enough faith to understand. This is what God wants. It takes faith. Well, now Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. It says, please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Listen. If you want to throw that hole in the bag up, you got to seek him. And you don't seek his hand, seek his face. Seek to have an intimate relationship with God. He will extend his hand. God knows how to bless you. Did you not know that God is all powerful? He's omnipotent. He can handle your boss on your job. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He sees everything. He knows everything you do. And he's all knowing. He's omniscient. He knows about your problem. He knows about your bills. He knows about your child support. God knows about everything. He also knows about that liquor you got in the cabinet too. And that Budweiser in the refrigerator. And that wine you said you used just for cooking. You know you're lying. All-knowing God. If you seek his face, he will extend his hand and God will bless you. Now listen, this was a powerful sermon. In the rebuke, he says, the heaven over you is stayed from dew and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Then he goes further to say, and I call. God says, I did this. I called for a drought because I controlled the weather. I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountain and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon all the ground which bringeth forth. And he said, I made everything dry, including the people. Look at that. And the men and upon cattle, I made everything dry. And there's nothing more pathetic than a Negro that would come up in this church dry. I told you last week, you ain't nothing but a fan. Followers and worshipers don't get dry. They come to worship. They don't come to get them a free flower. Preach, Holy Ghost. I preach. I got to cut this thing loose. I'm getting a little long now. God said, I did it. Because you wouldn't build my house. We had the reprimand, the remedy, the rebuke from God, and then the reaction of the people. Verse 12. Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of Haggai as the Lord their God had sent. And the people did fear before the Lord. That's what it said. Verse 13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. Now that you get it, now that you heed my word, now that you've taken the needle of faith and the thread of works, you know, that's what you got to have. They go together, faith and works. And you can talk about faith all day long, but if you don't have no works, see, faith always leads works. Works always follow faith. Faith without works is dead. You got to take the needle of faith to sew up that hole with the thread of your works to prove it. The Bible makes it plain that after he had preached this, 23 days had elapsed and they began to work. They got their situation and their business together, and they begin to build God's house. Oh, what a sermon. Powerful sermon. Changed the life of over 40,000 people just like that. We will go about and do God's work. How big do the hole have to get before you realize there's a hole in the bag? You need faith. You need obedience. You need works. Here's the other one. They said, Pastor, I retired, but I'm on a fixed income. Baby, guess who fixed your income? It was the Lord. God would never have you to do something that you were incapable of doing. When God says do something, just do it. He'll work it out for you. But you don't know the bills I got. God knows all about it. See, I was watching TV the other day, and I'm just going to throw this in here. And I watch those programs where they're trying to get people's money straight. And they max out all their credit cards and everything. And people have a fit when you're trying to help them. And they told the woman, you done bought $200,000 worth of shoes and purses. You need to sell this stuff. Oh, no. She done borrowed money from her mama. She done maxed out her credit card. They're in debt. And she don't want to sell this stuff that she can't even wear. And she wasn't cute. I just want to tell you that right now. She wasn't cute. The shoes and purse was not helping her at all. She done better if she invested in some makeup. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you how I feel about it. Sometimes I tickle me. People don't like you talking about their money. But when you become a steward, your time and your talent and your treasure becomes God's time, God's talent, and God's treasure. Oh, what a sermon. Consider your ways. Arrange your priorities. Put God first. Keep Him first. And He will bless you. I got some witnesses here. Would you just kind of wave your hand over there? They know what I'm talking about. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe the Word, at least believe them. And some of them was lying because I've seen some hands go up there. I know they ain't getting nothing. They just did it because the people next to them did it. Amen. Y'all ain't fooling nobody. We can't make it off your dollar or your $2. But we have. We got a $25,000 a month mortgage. And we're ahead with it. Did you hear what I said? And we didn't get ahead with your $2. Well, I don't know about you. When I stood and read the covenant, and it told me to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expense of the church, I took that to heart. You see, I can't answer this for you, but I know how good God has been to me. And He didn't just start getting good to me. I told you, 33 years, when I had my open heart surgery, my tithe was here every Sunday because my wife brought it. I had someone ask me the other day, you mean to tell me I got the tithe when I'm homesick? Yeah. It's still God's money. You can't spend it. You can't even get out of bed. What you going to do with it? And folks hear me. You going to pay the house? No. You going to let them cut all the lights off? No. You going to pay that bill? Well, you owe a bill. You have a debt here. And please, I'm not trying to force anybody to do anything. Because if you're not doing this out of the kindness and goodness and mercy and joy of your heart, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Because you cannot do this by your budget. You must do it by faith. There ought to be joy bells ringing in your heart when you come to the tithe box. When you give your offering. I watch you when that you pass the thing and don't ever put nothing in. I watch you. You know who you are. I do too. Well, not this Sunday. Maybe next Sunday. No, I've been watching you about 3 months. I ain't going to look at you right now because I know you're on this side. Amen. I know where you are. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm committed. You say you can't afford to tithe? I can't afford not to. The windows of heaven have been opened. And I'm not just talking about the monetary blessings. Health and strength. You can't buy that. Wake up clothed in my right mind and I know what day it is. That's a blessing. Can go to the closet and pick out something to wear. Hallelujah. My car is almost 10 years old, but it's still running and it's paid for. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And God has done so much for me. I can never do enough for Him. See, I've had some nice people in my life, done some wonderful things, but only the Son of God gave His life for me. Every day that I get up, I'm thankful and grateful for what God has done for me. As much as some folk tell you they love you, Jesus proved His love. He went to yonder's cross just for you. Just for me. And I can't thank Him enough. And I know He died for the whole wide world, but I take this thing personal. And I'm grateful and I give out of the fact that He's given me more than I could ever give Him back. I love Him and I thank God for Him because He died for me. He took all of my low down dirty sins and died for me upon the cross of Calvary. They took my Jesus down and laid Him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday. He stayed there Saturday, but early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in His hand. I've got to live for Him because He died for me. It's a personal thing. I don't have no problem giving to the Lord. He's given me more than I could ever give Him. Christians are not self-serving. Christians are not stingy. Christians are not freeloaders. Christians are givers. Stand to your feet. The door of the church is open.